Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Hanitai Gora Haribol, 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 Nitai Gora Haribol, 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 Nitai Gora Haribol. Gura Premanandi. Jayam Vishnu Pada Paramahamsa Parivaja Kacharya Sotara Sata Sisimat His Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrindaki Nama Charya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prensiko Hosi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrindaki Sisi Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhanki Ganga Maiki, Chamuna Maiki, Tulasi Devi Maharaniki, Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Shishi, Guru, and Gauranga. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Magyana Temirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So, reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Volume 5, Chapter 23. And we'll start with the, I was asked to read the introduction to the chapter and then verse number 1. So we'll read the introduction first and then we'll chant the text number 1 of the Chapter 23. Title of the chapter, Life's Ultimate Goal, Love of Godhead. Introduction by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The following summary of the 23rd chapter is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So basically, this introduction is taken from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Amrita Prabaha Bhasya. In this chapter, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes the symptoms of emotion and love and the awakening of one's original loving relationship with the Lord, as well as the characteristics of a devotee who has actually attained that stage. He then describes the gradual increase of love of God up to the point of Mahabhava. Mahabhava. He then describes the five divisions of attraction and how they continue. He also describes the mellow derived from conjugal love, which is the supreme emotion. Conjugal love is divided into two categories, swakīya and parakīya. Swakīya refers to loving affairs between husband and wife, and parakīya refers to loving affairs between two lovers. There are a number of descriptions in this connection. There is also a description of the 64 transcendental qualities of Krishna and the 25 transcendental qualities of Srimati Radharani. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then describes those candidates who are eligible to taste the mellows of devotional service. Their fundamental natures and their varieties are also described. The Lord also informs Sanatana Goswami about all the confidential paraphernalia of devotional service. He gives a description of Goloka Vrindavan, where the Lord is engaged in his eternal pastimes described in the Hari Vamsa. There is also an opposing description and a favorable description of Kesha Avatar. All these instructions are mentioned herein. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Sanatan Goswami, placing his hand on his head, that Sanatan received the power to describe these subjects in books like Hari Bhakti Vilas. And now we'll read together the text number one. Repeat after me. Chirat, chirat adatam nijagutta vittam swapremanam amritam ati udarahap apamaram yo vitattara gaurahap krishno janibhyastam maham prapadye. Please chant. Chiratadattam nijagutta vittam swapremanam nuitam ati dudarahap. Yo. Apamaram yo vitattara gaurahap. Krishno janibhyastam aham prapadye. Chiratadatam nijagupta vitam swapremanam amritam ati udaraham apamaram jovitatara gauraham. Krishno janibhyastam aham prapadye. Chiratadatam nijagupta vitam swapremanam amritam ati udaraham apamaram jovitatara gauraham. Krishno janibhyastam aham prapadye. Chiratadatam nijagupta vitam swapremanam amritam ati udaraham Apamaram yo vitatara gauraha. Krishna janivyastam aham prapadye. Anybody else? Okay. Chirat. For a long time. Adatam. Not given. Nijaguptavitam. His own personal confidential property. Swaprema. Of love for him. Nama. Of the holy name. Amritam. The ambrosia. Atiudaraha. Most munificent. Apamaram. Even down to the lowest of men. Yaha. One who. Vitatara. Distributed. Gauraha. Sri Gaurasundara Krishna. Oh, Krishna, Lord Krishna himself, Janevyaha, to the people in general, Tam, to him, Aham, I, Prapadye, offer obeisances. A translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The most munificent Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Gaura Krishna, distributed to everyone, even the lowest of men, his own confidential treasury in the form of the nectar of love of himself and the holy name. This was never given to the people at any time before. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto him. So there is no purport for the text number one. So, I'm supposed to just speak a few words about this chapter and the title, Life's Ultimate Goal, Love of Godhead. So this is a very lofty subject matter. And so I think I wanted to just talk about how we got to this point of chapter 23, we are talking about the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, right? The previous chapters we're describing Prayochana and Abhideya, and now we are getting into, Sambandha and Abhideya, and now we are getting into the Prayochana stage. So I'm gonna read a few things here from a few verses from the Adi Lila volume one, so we understand where we are going from here, because now here we are really at the end of this description of the three stages described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so we need to know where we come from and where we are going and how we get there. So, very, very elevated subject matter. So I'm going to be reading from the Adi Lila, and also when we read this, it will give you an introduction to the relationship between the great personalities that we are glorifying here today, their disappearance day is today. So there's Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Dasa Goswami, and Krishna Das Kaviraj Maharaj himself, the writer of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. How did this all come about? Why do we have this book here? Why are we speaking or trying to say a few words about this great literature? What does it mean? How can we take advantage of this great opportunity that was given to us? So let's say how we can get there, and then hope that I am successful on this endeavor. I pray to Srila Prabhupada that he helps me on this matter. So, text 14 from the Adi Lila. I offer my obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, who is none different from his features as a devotee, devotional incarnation, devotional manifestation, pure devotee, and devotional energy. Glory to the all-merciful Radha and Madan Mohan. I am lame and ill-advised, yet they are my directors, and their lotus feet are everything to me. In a temple of jewels in Vrindavan, underneath a desire tree, Sri Sri Radha Govinda, served by their most confidential associates, sit upon an effulgent throne. I offer my humble obeisances unto them. Sri Srila Gopinatha, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasa dance, stands on the shore in Bamsivata and attracts the attention of the cowherd damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. These three deities of Vrindavan, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopinath, have absorbed the heart and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the followers of Lord Chaitanya. I worship their lotus feet, for they are the lords of my heart. And Prabhupada writes in the purport to this verse, the three deities, Madan Mohan, Govinda, and Gopijana Vallabha, have very specific qualities. Worship of Madan Mohan is on the platform of reestablishing our forgotten relationship with the personality of Godhead. In the material world, we are presently in utter ignorance of our eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is the problem, that is the issue. We are born into this world, a world of material composition, so to speak, material energy, material nature. And we are born blind to the fact that we cannot see the spiritual world, the spiritual nature, the spiritual energy that exists, that is a reality that exists. So there are two different energies, as Krishna describes in Bhagavad Gita, the material energy and the spiritual energy. But when we are born blind to the fact that we cannot see the spiritual energy. Just a short example here of my own, in my own life. When we were living in Berkeley, California, and two blocks down the road from where I used to live, there was the new Jagannath Puri temple. At the time, I was a student of the Bansuri flute. I was not a devotee. I was just, although I had known about Hare Krishna, I was chanting Hare Krishna way in 1970 when George Harrison came out with his My Sweet Lord record. We used to dance for hours. And then, but anyway, I was not a devotee. I was not really a part of the movement. I had never been to the temple. And then one day I decided to go to the temple because it was very hot and I couldn't play my flute. It was just too hot. And I couldn't concentrate. So I said, and this idea came to me. I don't know how it came to me. I said, well, maybe the Krishnas will let me play in their temple. It's so hot. It must be nice and cool in there. It's a nice big temple. So I go down to the temple and I ask the devotee at the front, and said, hey, can I go in your temple and play my flute? And the devotee said, sure, you can just come in. And it was about 3:30 in the afternoon. So I come in inside the temple, and it was very dark, and there was only the Vyasa Sangha with Srila Prabhupada there. There was a light over him. And I couldn't see him very well, but I thought that he was present, that he was alive. He was right there in front of me. I said, wow, this is the guru of George Harrison, and he's right here. I better be quiet. I shouldn't play the flute or anything. So I was there for a long time. And then I said, okay, well, now I have to go. So I left the temple. I was very impressed because the temple is very beautiful. You know, if you go to New Jagannath Puri, it has beautiful dioramas, beautiful depictions of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very pretty. I was very impressed by it. So I go outside, and a devotee said, yeah, why don't you come to our dinner program? We have one tonight. It's only $1 all you can eat. I said, $1? Well, okay, we'll try and see. So I go back to our apartment and I tell my wife, Prihandevi, I said, hey, you know, the Krishnas, they have a dinner program. It's a beautiful temple. You should come and see it. It's very, very nice. And it only costs $1 to have dinner there. And she said, okay, well, let's go. So we went to the dinner program for $1, all you can eat. So we ate to our heart's content, and the devotees gave us even more prasadam that we could take. But anyway, I told Brihan, I said, wow. I said, this food tastes just like my mother's. There is something in this food that is just tastes really, really good. So we kept going for 3 or 4 days. We continue going to the temple every evening. And then one day I go inside the temple and the doors were open. I had never seen them. The altar doors were open. But I saw that there was just light. I couldn't see the deities. I didn't see anything, just light. And a devotee comes to me and says, have you seen the deities of Lord Jagannath? Have you been introduced to them? I said, what deities? I don't know what you're talking about. He said, yeah, don't you see there are some deities over there on that altar? I said, no, I don't see anything. He said, yeah, come closer. So I got really close to the altar. And he said, don't you see now the deities? Don't you see the person in front of you? I said, no, I don't see anything. I couldn't. I really couldn't see anything. Couldn't see any deities. He said, well, look closer. And then just like fog diluting itself in the breeze, like if I had cataracts in my eyes, they just disappear. And then all of a sudden, I start seeing these beautiful big eyes looking at me. I said, oh, I see something. There is someone there with big eyes in front of me. Who is it? Where am I? What is this? He said, yeah, that is Lord Jagannath. And that's Lord Balaram and Lady Subhadra. I said, wow, they are beautiful. Oh my God. I was really astonished by it. And I said, wow, that's incredible. Fantastic. So I was so impressed by the deities of Lord Jagannath, Lord Balaram and Lady Subhadra, that I just kept going and going. And so that brings us to the point here that is what the Sankirtan movement is, right? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just to connect what we were reading just a minute ago with the fact that people like us are awakened to develop this relationship with Krishna by this Sankirtan movement. This is basically the crux of the matter. It says here, in the Shishik Shastaka prayers, as Ganesham Prabhu gave a very nice seminar the other day on the Shikshastaka, and it was very interesting, because this is the position in which we are, which Prabhupada is saying here, that we are born into this darkness of ignorance, and then we don't know anything about it, but the Sankirtan movement is reviving. This is the job of the Sankirtan movement. This is what it's doing. By having temples, beautiful altar, beautiful deities, going on Harinam, doing our best to present the Sankirtan movement and the teachings in the best possible life to attract the conditioned souls so they can revive that desire to be closer to Krishna, right? Glory to the Sri Krishna Sankirtan, which cleanses the heart of all the dust accumulated for years and extinguishes the fire of conditional life of repeated birth and death. The Sankirtan movement is the prime benediction for humanity at large, because it expressed the rays of the benediction moon. So what happened is that material life, we gotta be realistic about this. Material life is the big fire. It's very, very hot. And it's burning everything. It burns us eventually. We grow old, we die, we move on, we take birth again. It's just the whole material creation is just a big fire. And so the Sankirtan movement brings this coolness, the chanting of the holy names, and the relationship with the devotees, and starting this relationship with Krishna, it just cools everything down that you can feel at peace, right? It is the life of all transcendental knowledge. It increases the ocean of transcendental bliss, and it enables us to fully taste the nectar for which we are always anxious. So that is when we desire to develop that relationship with that Lord Jagannath, with Krishna, that it has shown up in front of us, that we want to develop that relationship, that sambandha, right? Sambandha, which was described earlier in the previous chapters of the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami. So the desire to, we find that there is a Krishna, that there is God, that there is a spiritual energy other than what we can see with our material eyes. And that is ruled, as Prabhupada was saying here on the Adi Lila, that is ruled by the, if we worship Madan Mohan, if we meditate on Madan Mohan, this deity, in Vrindavan there are three major temples, as you know, and then there were four other temples that were built after that, and total of seven, that's what Prabhupada said later in the purport. But the three main temples, the number one is Madan Mohan, that's the first deity that we approach. Why? Because Madan Mohan is literally Cupid himself, you know, it's like the Lord of God, of love. So the Lord of love is Madan Mohan. So we approach to Madan Mohan with great, great attention and devotion. Then it more of this will be revealed to us. Now, so the Shikshastaka prayers also reveal to us more information, and that is that we need to get closer to develop this relationship, this sambandha with Krishna. And how to do that? That is explained here on verse number 3. Trinata pisunichana tarora pisahisnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. So basically, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling us in the Shikshastaka that one needs to concentrate. This is the great boon that was given to us, which one can be with Krishna by chanting his name. In other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu installed the deity of the holy name in our hearts, basically, through the Sankirtan movement. That's what the Sankirtan movement is about. So now, if we chant in a humble state of mind and paying attention to the name, if we pay attention, then we will clear all of these anarthas, all of these desires that are in our hearts, which are not allowing us to focus and develop in this loving relationship with God. And that's what happens. So when you chant the holy names, it's a technique. It's a technique. It's a, just chant these holy names. That's what Srila Prabhupada told us, at minimum 16 rounds, focusing on the name. Like you get a chant with intention and with attention. And when you perform your sadhana, try to please the second deity in Vrindavan, which is the Govinda, Sri Govinda, in the Govinda temple. And just focus on it. Because if you are not focusing on the name, there is still some effect, but it's not very powerful. That's like, and Niki Shori, our Mataji here, was giving class the other day and was saying, well, if you chant the holy name and you are just distracted by other things, then it's not going to have the same effect. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, what should I do today? Hare Rama, Hare Rama, but perhaps I'll go to the temple later. So if you start thinking like that, then you are losing the strength of your own intention in the concentration of the holy name. But then there was a discussion afterwards in that class where I believe it was Mukunda who said that, well, that's why we come to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam class, that's why we come and listen to the Chaitanya Charitamrita classes, because eventually if you start thinking of the deities and of the incarnations of the Supreme Lord, that these stories bring you back and focusing on the holy name. So it was very, very interesting what happens. But this is the point, that we need to chant the holy names in a pure state of mind and focus on the name, pay attention to it, so that we develop this loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to the point where we can experience a result from it. So what result or what symptoms do we have that would be described on the last three verses of the Shikshastakam prayers. Oh my Lord, when will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain, and I am feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. So, and the last verse of the Shikshastaka, this is so beautiful. It's just, sorry I'm taking so much of your time here, but this is just incredibly beautiful. I know no one but Krishna as my Lord, and he shall remain so even if he handles me roughly by his embrace or makes me brokenhearted by not being present before me. He is completely free to do anything and everything, for he is always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. And so, if you worship the deity of Madan Mohan, then we get to this process of sambandha, of wanting to develop a relationship with God, and then the performance of the abideja, the abideja stage, which is the second stage, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings to Sanatana Goswami. The abideja platform is how to chant the names of the Lord in a very concentrated, attentive state of mind and how to perform devotional service. And then we get, if we do these things correctly and we follow the directions of the spiritual master, then we get to the third stage, which is Prayochana, and that's where we are right now on this chapter 23 of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Prayochana is, as the title says, the ultimate goal of life, which is to develop to develop love for God. And when you develop that love for God, then there are symptoms. There are things that happen that you can see that you have developed that stage. Now, I personally cannot talk much about that stage itself. It's a very elevated stage. I personally cannot discuss these things myself, but I can tell you that I was in Hawaii about 20 years and change ago, and Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj came to Hawaii because he was very, very sick at the time. Well, he passed a few months later after that. And, well, he had a very, very bad cancer called melanoma. And he had a big, big tumor on his foot. It must have been like 10 inches by 5, so huge. It was bad. I'm sure he was in tremendous pain, but he was very stoic. You could see that he really didn't talk much about it. And so I was taking care of him. I would go there some days and take care of him, give him water or give him whatever he needed. But one of the things he would request from me, that was my service to him, is he would ask me to read from Krishna book. And that's one of the things that I did. That's, I guess, one of the things he used in order to get some peace in his life. So I would read Krishna book from him, and then while I was reading, he would stop me and said, "What kind of raga goes with that chapter? What music goes with it?" Because he knew that I have played for him before many times. I studied this I studied classical Indian music, Bansuri flute. And Bansuri flute is a very interesting music because the ragas, which is that which colors the mind, actually they come from the time, they express in musical terms the pastimes of Krishna. So there are chapters in the Krishna book that goes specifically with certain ragas. And I knew that that science because I studied from a great master, great master, who was a Vaishnava also. His mother was Vaishnava. His name was Govardhan Singh Sachdev. Actually, Yadubar, you use my teacher's music and on one of your first films. That was Sachdev, playing Raga Bhupali in the description of Vrindavan. So he was a very great. Also, he gave several concerts at our temple in Berkeley. He was a very, very nice man. He loved Krishna. And before I even met the devotees, he was telling me about Krishna and some of these ragas and music. So anyway, I'm going to read just to follow up with what we were talking about. The stage of Prayochana, which was felt by the gopis. And I was reading, I read many stories to Maharaj, but this is one of them that we used to read for him and some of the music. The raga that I will be playing that goes with this chapter is called is 10th canto, chapter 29, text number 5. This is Krishna and the gopis meet, which is just the beginning of the first rasa dance. And again, this is how we get to the stage of the Prayochana. We're talking about Prayochana now. The ultimate goal of life, love of Godhead. And I saw this in Maharaj, that Maharaj, he was, I'm sure that because I've had some glimpses of this myself, he was in tremendous pain. He had to be. I mean, no question about it. I even had my problems, health problems, maybe were not as close as his. He really was in bad shape. But he was listening to the scriptures, and then I would play the flute. And I remember that he was very serene. His face was very serene, and all of a sudden I saw a smile on his face. So for someone in that state to smile, I thought, when I was playing, I said, wow, what must Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj must be thinking about to be smiling? Well, something to think about, that some people like that, very subtle, but I could see that he was in another world. He was no longer here. He was just gone. His mind was absorbed in Krishna consciousness. I said, wow, that's beautiful. So let me just tell you a little bit of what we experienced there. Raga Malkosh. So Raga Malkosh is a full moon raga attributed to the ragas that Krishna plays at night to attract the gopis. It's a flute actually built by our own Dasarath Prabhu here in New Raman Reti. So Raga Malkosh has a flat third, flat six, and seven, and the main note is the fourth, the ma, because the ma represents the moon. It doesn't have a fifth, because the fifth, do, re, mi, fa, sol, sa, re, ga, ma, pa, the fifth note is bright yellow color. And Krishna plays ragas with that note when he's running with the other cowherd boys in the forest. He'll play in the middle of the afternoon. That note is prominent. But not during the full moon. During the full moon is the fourth note. So that's Raga Malkosh. When the young women... The moon rose, anointing the face of the western horizon with a reddish hue of his comforting rays, and thus dispelling the pain of all who watch him rise. The moon was like a beloved husband who returns after a long absence and adorns the face of his beloved wife with red kumkum. Lord Krishna saw the unbroken disk of the full moon glowing with the red effulgence of newly applied vermilion as if it were the face of the goddess of fortune. He also saw the Kumuda lotuses opening in response to the moon's presence and the forest gently illumined by its rays. Thus, the Lord began to play sweetly on his flute, attracting the minds of the beautiful-eyed gopis. When the young women of Vrindavan heard Krishna's flute song, which arouses romantic feelings, their minds were captivated by the Lord. They went to where their lover waited, each unknown to the others, moving so quickly that their earrings swung back and forth. Some of the gopis were milking cows. When they heard Krishna's flute, they stopped milking and went off to meet him. Some left milk curdling on the stove, and others left cakes burning in the oven. Some of them were getting dressed, feeding milk to their infants, or rendering personal service to their husbands, but they all gave up their duties and went to meet Krishna. Other gopis were taking their evening meals, washing themselves, putting on cosmetics, or applying kahala to their eyes. But all the gopis stopped these activities at once, and though their clothes and ornaments were in complete disarray, rushed off to Krishna. Lord Krishna said, "Oh, most fortunate ladies, welcome. What may I do to please you? Is everything well in Raja? Please tell me the reason for your coming here. This night is quite frightening, and frightening creatures are lurking about. Return to Raja, slender-waisted girls, This is not a proper place for a woman. On the other hand, perhaps you have come here out of your great love for me, which has taken control of your hearts. This is, of course, quite commendable on your part, since all living entities possess natural affection for me. So at this point, now the gopis kind of feel a little bit rejected by these words of Krishna, saying, why do you left everything? This is very dangerous. You shouldn't be here. Just don't do that. So the gopis then, and just we'll conclude here, because I know I'm taking way too much time on this, but I just wanted to show you an experience of what we did. So then the gopis feel very morose. So we change the raga that expresses the longings of the soul to be with God. Sukadeva Goswami said, hearing these unpleasant words spoken by Govinda, the gopis became morose. Their great hopes were frustrated, and they felt insurmountable anxiety. Their heads hanging down and their heavy, sorrowful breathing drying up their reddened lips, the gopis scratched the ground with their toes. Tears flowed from their eyes, carrying their kahala and washing away the vermilion smeared on their breasts. Thus they stood silently, bearing the burden of their unhappiness. So this is Raga Katyayani. From this chapter 29. Well, the crying of the gopis, dear Krishna, please pour the nectar of your lips upon the fire within our hearts, a fire you ignited with your smiling glances and the sweet song of your flute. If you do not, we will consign our bodies to the fire of separation from you. O friend, and thus, like yogis, attain to the abode of your lotus feet by meditation. So the gopis were so sad because Krishna was kind of rejecting them. But then Sukadeva Goswami said, smiling upon hearing these despondent words from the gopis, Lord Krishna, the supreme master of all masters of mystic yoga, mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied. So we will stop the narration here because our time is kind of running. And I wanted to say just a few words about these great sages and saints that came and brought this information to us, this knowledge. Because what we are talking about basically is the three stages that were taught by Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to Sanatana Goswami, right? Sambandha, Avideya, Prayochana. And this is the stage of Prayochana. But how did this information came to us? Well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave it to his disciples. Who were his disciples? Well, the main disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. They are the ones who studied and understood the knowledge that was given to them by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now today we are honoring two of them, Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami and Raghunatha Dasa Goswami. And we don't have the time now to read more, but they were in the Adi Lila. It is said that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami considers the six Goswamis of Vrindavan his Diksha Gurus. His Shiksha Gurus are the Shiksha Gurus. And his Diksha Guru, we think that it is not expressed clearly said, but in the text number 204, text number 202 of the chapter 5 of the Adi Lila, he said, the first verse is, all glory to the merciful Lord Nityananda, by whose mercy I have attained shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan. By his mercy, I have attained the shelter of the great personality Sri Raghunatha Dasa Goswami, and by his mercy, I have found the refuge of Sri Rup, Sri Swarup Damodar. Because this, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the compilation, basically, the story of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the life and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and was given to Krishnadas Kaviraj by his Shiksha Gurus, as he mentioned, the six Goswamis. And he specifically mentions Raghunatha Dasa Goswami as his instructing spiritual master, but also as his Diksha Guru. And by his mercy, he was able to connect with Swarup Damodar, who was the secretary for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had all the information about the movements of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in India and Bharatavarsha, and where he went, what he did, the chronological aspects of his traveling and his life teachings. So by the mercy of his gurus, at the very late stage in his life, he was very, very old. He was in his 80s. He passed at the age of 92, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He was very, very old. And he said, I can hardly write anymore. I'm so old, I can hardly write. My memory is going away. I don't even remember things very well. It is a miracle that I can even write what I'm writing today. So he was saying that his hand was being led by Krishna himself, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So very extraordinary. In a sense, you can think about the teachings of Srila Prabhupada and how Prabhupada, he was in his late 70s and he was still giving classes. I mean, we hear classes every Sunday. And, you know, if you look at the date of those classes that Purna Prabhu brings every Sunday morning, the dates are 1975. Well, how old was Prabhupada in 1975? He was 79 years old, right? 1976, he's teaching about the Ajamil and the sixth canto. He was 80 years old. He was still traveling all over the world, answering letters, translating the Chaitanya Charitamrita or Krishna book, or he was always in his old age. He was still working really, really hard, but he was obviously taken by Krishna's energy. He was, as Sridhar Swami said, he was a Shaktyavesa avatar, Shaktyavesa avatar. No other way to explain how someone at that age can come to America with $8 in his pocket and a trunk full of books. I mean, and then create a movement as he did, and we are the beneficiaries of that. So very extraordinary. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, so just to say a few words, he had mainly two main teachers. One is Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and the other one is Raghunath Dasa Goswami. And I'm sorry I'm not going to give more deference or more time to talk about these great mystic saints, the Goswamis of Vrindavan, because they were very extraordinary devotees. Actually, this book, Vaishnava Saints, which was published, written and published by Ananta Shakti Das and Vishakha Devi, I guess Vishakha was involved in this as well. They wrote a very interesting compilation of the stories of these swamis, and it is said that Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami is Raga Manjari in his eternal spiritual form. I mean, this is a Manjari. In other words, Mahaprabhu, when he came to this planet, he brought with him his own associates, and some of those associates were, because he was in the mood of Srimati Radharani, were actually Manjaris that serve Srimati Radharani in the spiritual world. Raghunatha Dasa Goswami, in Krishna Lila, he is Rasa or Rati Manjari. And then we have Krishnadas Kaviraj, he was Kasturi Manjari. So these are Manjaris, Manjaris. Imagine that. They were here in this planet just a few years ago. I mean, what chance is there that these great personalities would come to a little planet in this little universe out of so many universes in this whole creation? They would come to this little planet to bring these teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to us. That's unbelievable. So just to say a couple of words about them, Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami, he was a disciple of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His father was Tapan Mishra, who is also in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he came to Benares originally to debate with the Mayavadi sannyasins over there. So he was staying at the house of Tapan Mishra, and that's where Raghunatha Bhatta Goswami met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he would massage his feet. He immediately fell in love with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings. So then later on, after Mahaprabhu went to Puri, he went to Puri to serve him, and he was there at two different times. And eventually Mahaprabhu asked him to go to Vrindavan to help Rupa and Sanatana Goswami to establish Vrindavan and to discover the temples and to establish Vrindavan as a holy place. So then he went to Vrindavan. And of course, there are many wonderful pastimes about that. Raghunath Dasa Goswami, there are many beautiful pastimes about him. He was born in a very wealthy family in Bengal, and eventually he left his family in order to connect with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because when Mahaprabhu was in Shantipur preaching, he went to see him, and he immediately loved the teachings and the Sankirtan movement. So Raghunath Dasa Goswami, as soon as he could, left to meet him to preach. And he met Nityananda Prabhu along the way at Panihati. And then there is that famous story where Nityananda Prabhu didn't like the fact that he was paying obeisances from far away. He said, "No, you got to come here. You are way too far away. This is an offense. And now you got to pay for this offense by providing for this festival." So organize a big festival. So this is the famous Panihati festival, which is still celebrated today at Panihati. And of course, here in, I believe in Atlanta, I've been to several times to the Panihati festival that is celebrated in the first week in June, I believe. And this is in commemoration of this festival, which is it's a festival that celebrates basically, it says here, the festival of cheap rice and yogurt. So what happened is that Raghunath Das Goswami, he arranged for a big, big prasadam distribution. He cooked over 400 pots with cheap rice and curd and give it to the devotees. He said that would be his punishment. It's called still the Danda Mahotsava Festival, which literally means the festival of punishment. That was the punishment that Nityananda Prabhu gave him. So now Raghunath Das Goswami is known for his great, great austerities. He was very austere devotee. He would, you know, chant for hours and hours. He only slept like 1 or 2 hours a day at the most. And so he was very, very austere. He also offered his obeisances to Krishna at least 1,000 times a day. And everyone that would walk into the temple, he would offer his obeisances. He was extremely austere. He would eat hardly anything, just maybe a little bit of milk or, you know, almost nothing. He was always constantly chanting. And he was very well known in India because of his recitation of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He would be able to recite the Bhagavatam in 3 or 4 different melodies. And whenever he would recite the Bhagavatam, it was like ecstatic. It was very, very beautiful. And people would just come to hear him recite the Bhagavatam because he would glow when he was reciting. He would get into ecstasies. Like what we were talking about earlier, chanting the 6, 7, 8 verses of the Shikshastaka. Well, all those symptoms would manifest on Raghunath Das Goswami when he was chanting the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he would just get into ecstasy. And sometimes the ecstasies would take him to a point where he wouldn't even talk. He would just get into some kind of a trance and it'd just be gone. So anyway, I can compare that a little bit. I can say to when I saw Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, you know, in that state where he would just smile at that point, you know, just in his meditation of the Krishna's pastimes. So I will stop right here. I hope that I did the best I could and that you are all are happy with whatever I said. I know that there is, we could have talked here for another 2 or 3 days or more, talking about these great saints, devotees, and these pastimes. But I'm sure in the upcoming weeks, other devotees will speak very beautiful about this chapter 23, Prayochana, just understanding that that's where we are going, the ultimate goal of life, developing love of Godhead. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol. Hare Krishna. Jai Hare Bol.